talk about you, brother.
I'm Angie. I'm an addict. Hey. It's good to be anywhere and not be high. I am still tripping off the marshmallow shoes, I swear to God. Ann Morton's on Pennsylvania Avenue. Let me just say this before I share. Some of y'all not going to like what I say. Sure. Mm-hmm. Because of the part of this topic that I have to share on, which is willingness, I'm going to have to take y'all on a little journey real quick. When I came in this program, I came in here telling on me. So I'm not identifying out, but I don't know a lot about that counterfeit shit because I came in here doing a fifth step every time I opened my mouth. I like to lie and tell y'all that I did it because I just wanted this program so bad, but I was so desperate for attention that I felt like if I exposed who I was, because I watched y'all in meetings when people got honest, how y'all gave them love, and when the girl talked about how she had behavior problems, how everybody wanted to help, right. But y'all ain't know I was a predator up in here.
Yeah.
And it was a setup. And I would share honestly and tell y'all who I'm doing, what I'm doing, and how I did it. Then I'd say, somebody ain't here gonna try me.
What they do, eh?
Get with the guy?
Get with the guy. Yeah.
In the name of N.A. Boo, we gonna have some coffee, we gonna share. Then I'm going to help myself to you. You're going to kick her. You don't got to call me tomorrow. Wash your ass, roll out, all that cuddle. Well, no, no, no. When I got here, I wasn't willing to do anything except not get high. That was my motto. You know how we hang on to the cliches, make them work for us. I was like, I ain't there yet. Long as I ain't smoking crack, leave me alone. I go to meetings every day. I share about me. I'm honest. You know, all that because I was sick. And I say that to say that when I go to meetings lately, I don't hear a lot about, I'm really going to try to do this. And make it conducive to Narcotics Anonymous. But I don't hear a lot about, you know, people are sharing, and I know it's your experience, Strength and Hope, and when you, okay. I'm not a person that goes to meetings. I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. There's a difference. When you become a member of Narcotics Anonymous, you are obligated to watch what you share when you're in the meeting. Don't go in there sharing about how you're practicing abstinence. Okay, that's fine. But tell us why. Because you're tired of fucking everybody in recovery. Oh.
Oh. Help somebody.
And I'm not saying that when I got here, people weren't sharing. They were sharing their experience. I wasn't getting what I needed. So I continue to be who I was when I got here. I was a predator. And I don't say that to glamour, you know, because let me tell y'all some good shit. Listen, get up in here and get down with it and do what you got to do as far as this program is concerned because my ninth step, my eighth step, longer than my list of recovery is longer than the people I harmed prior to getting here. You're going to have to pay for that one way or the other. And initially how I paid for it was because I wasn't willing to change. I was ostracized. Even though I wasn't using, but 6 years here, showing up every meeting in service, chairing special events at East of the River, all that. But I wasn't changing. And instead of somebody saying, baby, you don't got to do that. What I got was, stay away from her. When I walked in the meeting, y'all grabbed y'all husbands, and y'all grabbed y'all wives. Because what? Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. So wasn't nobody off limits. So when I walked in the meeting and you looked good and you said that your relationship was not in the place you wanted it to be, in the name of NA after the meeting, I said, boo, I'll help you. I always share that part of my story because, in all sincerity, and I'm not just talking to the women in here, I'm talking to the men too. It's hard when you come in here with, y'all. Some people talk about having baggage. I came here with U-Haul trucks and shit behind me. I had serious issues. And because I'm an incest survivor, I didn't know until I got here and started doing some work on me that my issue was I was taught that the only way to get love was to have sex. I didn't know that. I didn't know that for real. I didn't want the sex. I just wanted to be held and somebody to tell me that it was going to be okay. Had I not been sharing the way I shared all these years, then I wouldn't be standing here today, because what happens is if you keep coming, wherever you work the process, it's going to start working for you. So I kept sharing, and we had a late night meeting, 10:30 at night to midnight, and every night I'd go in there and share my head and be like, my name, I'm an addict. I ain't trying to use nobody tonight, so I'm in the meeting. You know. So what happened was people started asking me for help. Because when I got here, I wasn't willing to do anything except go to meetings and show up and be in service. I wasn't doing step work. Women started coming to me saying, I've been doing the same thing, help. And I'm like, I can't. I'm a firm believer that if you're not married, don't tell nobody how to work on their marriage. If you've never bore children, don't tell me how to be a parent. The literature clearly states, and let me just say this, I don't have nothing against people who quote the literature. If necessary, I will refer to it. I don't know what page, nothing on in there. I don't know what paragraph, but I know what's in that book. Being able to mimic and quote the literature does not equal recovery. I didn't even know what my topic was because I like shooting from the gut. I don't like rehearsing and all that shit. But the literature clearly states you have to share your experience, which is what you've been through. The hope is that you can get through it without using. The strength is being able to look at another addict when they ask you for help and tell them, I've been through that. Let me tell you how it worked for me. So all these women kept coming to me and asking me for help, and I said, damn, now I got to do some work. Because I ain't going to tell you to do step work if I'm not doing it. So I had to hit the books, and as a result of that, I found out who I was, why I do what I do, why I act the way that I act, why my reactions are the manner that they are, and I also learned how to counteract my behavior in Narcotics Anonymous. Being willing all the time, I like to lie and tell y'all immediately, oh, okay, surrender. Hell to the no. 21 years later, I am still processing that. 21 years later, I am still picking and choosing what battle I'm going to fight. I'm going to give this right to God, or I'm going to try to handle this one myself. This program is the only place I know that I can go through anything and not get high. My willingness and my thirst and my determination to live in here. See, you can just exist in the rooms, and people will let you do that. You will die in here and be walking around. Stay here long enough, you're going to understand that. But they'll let you die. As much as we love on you till you love yourself, what's that little rapper? It was ugly ass. A closed mind mouth don't get fed. So if you don't come in and talk about where you are or what's going on with you, you're not going to get the help that you need. Let me clarify a myth real quick. Everything ain't for the men. Yeah. Which one is it? Because the book say, "Shay, where you at?" But the people who are incapable of being honest with self don't like other people who are capable of being honest with self to come in and talk about where they are exactly.
They're mad at you.
Yeah. It's all good. Look, they can be mad. I got my posse. Oh, everybody ain't well over there. But I say that to say that in this program, you know that's right. In the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you can have a lot of, you know, it's fun, you know, all that. But the reality of it is that I got tired of existing and I wanted to live. And in order for me to live, then I had to find out what was killing me in here. My inability at the time, my inability to be functional in a relationship held me back. And I just thought it was because I'm so damn needy. After I did some work, I realized that it wasn't because I was needy, it was who I was picking. Because I didn't feel worthy of having a good man or woman in my life, I chose trash all the time. If you were in a relationship and it was going a little rocky, yeah, you was good to go. I was down with OPP for Naughty by Nature even started rapping, but I like other people's shit. Because you got to go home. I don't want you all the time. You got to go home. And I thought, because I was, you know, just that bitch up in here, you know. But the reality is that I felt that way about me. I didn't feel worthy of having somebody of my own. So I took what I could get. Understand that the same woman who came in here feeling like sex was the way to make friends and to get love has been abstinent by choice for the last 5 years. Wow. Don't clap, boo, because I'm suffering. Oh my God. I'm not going to sit up here and tell y'all that I don't have them nights. I spend a lot of money. On gadgets and shit. Because I didn't say I wasn't coming. I said I wasn't having sex with other people. Because of the way that I feel about me today, everybody ain't worthy of me. When I give you me, and I want my sponsees to hear me. I'm gonna cry. When I give you me, that is all I have to give you. I don't give it to you so freely anymore. That is something that my God gave me to give the person who loves me the way that I love them. I don't have to wake up with them nasty-ass feelings no more. Y'all said stuff like, you know, watch what you're doing. You're going to go in the meeting. It's going to be 10 people you slept with. Honey, let me just tell you. You're going to feel bad. Girl, I didn't feel bad. I say all they can say is I got some good puss.
Yes. Are you saying this?
I didn't ask you for nothing. You didn't have to pay my bills. See, y'all missing. That's funny. But what you're missing is how low I was.
Absolutely. The pain.
I didn't even love me enough to sell the pussy in here. I said, here, take it. Look, coochie coupons everywhere, fool. What I'm talking about is not being willing to love me like I love other people. The minute that I started loving me the way I fall in love with other people, I started walking past my mirror. Girl, I would do her. Yes. Oh, it was me. Yeah. Stop looking outside for it. You know what I mean? This is the only place I know where I can come. People die and we don't use. You understand? The doctor gave me 11 months in 1991. What is it, 2012? I don't know which one y'all serving, but my doctor a healer. You know? I'm a four-time cancer survivor in recovery. I wore the morphine patch because the doctor said, where? Y'all said I wasn't clean. As a repercussion of all the chemo and all the radiation and all the things that were done to my body in those processes, I take painkillers now, and I take strong painkillers, and I take them when I hurt. I don't let nobody tell me because I may have to take a Percocet, wear a morphine patch, take a Vicodin from time to time. That shit crazy, so I kind of stay away from them. But, yeah, if I have to, then I take it. I'm careful about it because I'm an addict. Those kind of pills, I have to call my friends and be like, I need an aspirin because my mother now lives in Fort Washington, and that's where my narcotics stay. And when I need them, I'll go get a dosage for a day, and I'll go home. I am willing today to do whatever it takes to stay clean. I am willing today to give of me as long as my giving is not in vain. People will suck you dry in here. And then when you sitting in the middle of your floor crying, like me, hearing voices, because I do, trying to figure out why I keep waking up wishing I was dead, ain't nobody around. Some of us come in here with more illnesses than others. I'm mentally unstable. I hear voices from time to time. I'm extremely paranoid and I'm schizophrenic. And I always say this. The blessing is I know that. And I take my medicine. What saddens me is a lot of y'all fucked up. Yeah. And don't even know it. Yeah. Y'all think what y'all do on a daily basis is normal, right? Crawling on the ground is not normal. I always say this. I ain't never tree barks. Ain't nobody worth me tree. Oh my God, in the rain I was crawling in the mud. Why they don't want me? Who they seeing? You know what's sick? My posse arrived right me. I'd be like, come on, go back over here. They'd be like, shit, meet us on the corner of Bennett Road. Being somewhere unhealthy and knowing it and staying because you don't want to start over is not normal. I used to stay in unhealthy places and relationships because I'm lazy and I don't like starting over. And I know I'm cute. I'm looking good. This is 50 here. Looks good.
A working 50.
Yes. But I still have body image issues. So I'll stay. Now, I'm going to see how many of y'all are going to be honest with self. I'll stay in an unhealthy relationship because I don't feel like letting some new person see me naked. I'll stay in an unhealthy relationship because first I'll try to sex my way into one. When you get bored with the booty, then I try to buy my way into it. When my funds get low, then I get desperate. I'll call you in the middle of the night. Why you don't want me? I'ma kill myself. But I don't take the pills until you knock on the door. Because I really don't want to die. I'm just desperate. That's not normal. I'm going to share this because I know I'm getting old. I'm good. It is not normal to wake up on a daily basis and question the God of my understanding as to why you keep me here. Like, I don't, like, I like to lie to y'all and tell y'all, you know, 21 years into this and with some, because I earned my right here. Look, I don't need nobody to tell me. I worked hard to be standing here in front of y'all. It's not normal to sit back and for no reason whatsoever become so sad that you cry, and but you can't get a handle on it to shut yourself up. So you're sitting there feeling like you're about to lose your mind. And I remember feeling that a few times before my dad passed, and I remember telling him about that feeling. And what he said to me was so profound. He said, "You're so used to being in turmoil that you don't know peace when you feel it, and it's frightening to you. Sit down, be still, be quiet. Let God in." Because of the cancer, I was never able to bear children. Because I had gotten to the point where I had gotten tired of falling in love with people who didn't love me. Because of the relationship that I had with the God of my understanding, when I can't do stuff, he do it for me. And I couldn't shut down the physical. I wasn't using people, y'all were consenting adults. But if you don't stay on top of your recovery, you will regress in here. Things that you think you've worked on will resurface with more power than ever. And I had begun to allow people in my life again. And because I was lonely for companionship, I was never lonely, trust me. It's a line. It's a line trying to get in, but I don't want them. But I was lonely for companionship, and I wanted, you know, I prayed. I'm like, you know, God, I really just need you to reveal my purpose, because I'm unsteady. My spirit is unsteady. You know, I'm emotionally unmanageable, but I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing every day. So I'm sitting on the subway, and because I have anxiety attacks, when I was riding the subway, this was a while ago, because I was carrying a Walkman. They don't even use that shit no more. It's iPhones and iPods and, you know, all them little gadgets. But I was wearing the Walkman with the big old earphones and listening to Yolanda Adams. The battle is not yours. And my spirit got filled. So I know I shouted out, I don't care who know I love God. Young lady sitting beside me tapped me and asked me if I would pray for her. She said, I said, "Tell me what it is. I'll call it out in prayer, you know." Said that she was pregnant. Her husband was in Iraq. Wasn't his kid. And she didn't know what to do about it. Because he said that he couldn't love a baby that wasn't his. I love telling this story, y'all. So I said, here's my number. Here's my pastor number. Give us a call. We will pray you through that thing. When the doors chimed for her to get off, my spirit said, girl, you better speak up. And I said, hey, I don't have any kids. If you really can't keep that baby, I'll take it. She called me 3 days later, asked me if I was serious. I told her yes, but at the time I was in an active lesbian relationship, so I invited her over to my home, let her meet my partner, showed her for a month how we lived. 3 days after the last time we saw her, she called me. She said, get a lawyer. And I did that. And I caught my son coming out the coochie. I say that for a few reasons. The first one is, the doctor said, I'll never be a mom. My high pal said, oh, no, you mother material, boo. I've raised a lot of kids. When people got their lives together, they took them back. This one mine. The minute he came, things changed for me. I breathe for my son. I get up every day and show up for him. On those days when my mental illness kicks in and says, you're not worthy, lay here and die, my son comes in my room and says, can I have waffles, please? Because that's all he eat. I don't know why that he... And I get up. There's no hesitation. I don't care how bad I feel, what's hurting on my body. When he come in there and smile at me, that's all I need. That's confirmation that today I'm supposed to be here. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but today I'm supposed to be here. So if you get nothing out of what I'm sharing, understand that if you participate in your recovery, anything is possible. The minute you become willing to allow your process to work for you, because there's a misconception that you're the only one working, but your process is working too. But you have to participate for it to be effective. I got you. The program of Narcotics Anonymous is the steps. You must work the steps to understand and get a full grasp of what this program is about. You can stand here and just be clean, but at some point it is not enough. Even if you don't use, you'll be a miserable ass, disrupting meetings, getting on everybody's fucking nerve. Look, just do the work. Just come in here and do the work. Get a sponsor and not your friend. Just, you know what I mean? Even if it is your friend, make sure that he or she has a working knowledge of the program and the traditions. Make sure they have a sponsor who has a working knowledge of the 12 and 12 who still go to meetings. You want to be connected with a group of people who are still actively in recovery. I'm not who I used to be. I'm on a path to who I want to be. But I'm okay with who I am right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, God just tapping on you.